Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to It's Tricky with Raquel Harper.
So what's tricky? What does that mean? Oh, let the camera roll.
So we have the legendary, okay, Miss Lunell herself. She's one of the realest comedians, period. She's funny as hell. And I'm very, very happy you're here. I haven't seen you, honestly, actually. When's the last time I saw you?
Probably like 5 years, literally face to face.
No.
Yeah, probably because you got to take two out immediately for the Rona.
No, I seen you during the Rona time.
When?
At the swap meet. I was at Slauson, and you were sitting there.
I don't know if I saw you there, but I do frequent the swap meet.
No, I saw
you. You're going to put me on blast like that?
I was there, too.
Yeah, I go to the swap meet.
No, I put myself there, too. I was right there with you. Shoot, I'm sitting there right there. I'm in the parking lot. I'm like, what you doing here?
Oh, yeah, outside.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, boom. Talking about, hey, ain't nothing wrong with the swap meet. People always act like something's wrong with different things.
Do you know that you can literally take a swap meet outfit and wear it on the red carpet because nobody up there knows that it came from the swap meet, only everybody down here?
Yeah, I mean, but look, you
know, they don't know there's 100 more outfits like that running around Los Angeles.
Who made that for you?
Slauson swap meet.
Right. You hit him with a name. You, your YouTube show, and you also filming. Tell me what's going on with you.
Well, I don't do a YouTube show any longer. I just keep putting up content. I was doing, during the corona, I started doing the YouTube show called Hey Lunell. There are 62 episodes online right now. I started it because I was forgetting how to put on makeup. I'm like, I've been in here a long time with no makeup.
You got the lashes cracking today, honey.
Always. Yeah, okay. I'm back. But during the Rona, when we was at home and not working, because, you know, comedy clubs wasn't doing those shows either, I developed that to sort of stay in touch with my fan base and to just practice being on air like this and to get made up and smell good every Wednesday. I did it every Wednesday live at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And so we started it before the Ahmaud Arbery murders or anything like that, before George Floyd. So the emotions of that whole time are captured on my YouTube show. Mm-hmm. Like people binge watch, you know, P-Valley. You should binge watch Hey Lunell on YouTube.
Hey Lunell. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I love the show. Listen, you're always definitely one of the funniest comedians. Do you feel that you are underrated?
In a way. I feel that I've got a, you know, a character actress just pop in, punch up, and lighten up the screen type thing. But that, and I haven't been given a really, really meaty part that would really show my range. And that's okay, because I'm not the greatest memorizer in the world. So me doing those little parts and stuff like that in very memorable films sort of in a certain type of thing. You know, I am in a different category as well. I feel like I'm very street and very real and very more about the people than I am about the industry type thing.
You are.
Even though that's the industry I'm in, you know. But just certain shit. What's the language barrier on this show?
Oh, no. You out
there. Yeah, basically, I don't give a fuck about playing any of the games or anything like that.
Yeah.
I am who I am. Take it or leave it. I haven't changed in 30 years. I've always been outspoken. I've always been very blunt. And that's a long process to even get there because everybody's not born that way, you know, but things happen to you in your life, and you can hold them in or you can let them out. I find letting them out makes me feel better. You get physically sick holding in, not saying what you want to say. So then I just developed that type of rep. But the other reputation that I do have, I know, is I'm professional, and I show up, and I am fun and everybody's happy to see my name on the call sheet.
Yeah.
And I don't cause no shit or no nothing like that. So, you know, I'm happy with where I'm at. I want some more money, though.
But you think they shorten you money in Hollywood?
Yes.
And why do you feel that they shorten you?
Well, just because I'm not the name the people speak.
Yeah.
And even though the executives may not know who I am or the maybe personal power that I have and connection that I have with the people,
yeah,
the people know. So they don't put me in a category where they feel like they have to give me what I'm actually worth mm-hmm. until the film comes out and all the reviews, oh my God, Linnell. And by then it's too late, you ain't got paid and it's over. So, but I'm gonna get there, you know, slow and steady wins the race.
I heard that.
For real.
I mean, like, when I be thinking about, I'm like, damn, everybody knows who you are. So it's just very crazy because every single role that you do, you always kill it. So it just doesn't be making
sense.
That's true.
yeah, well, you know, it's all in God's time. You know, if I had my way, I would have been where I'm at 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm where I'm at, it would have not been good for me to be where I'm at 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get older and you get wiser with your money and stuff like that. And you're not doing the dope you used to do and sleeping with the trollops that you used to sleep with and being drunk and all that stuff. That comes with age.
But you've been married for what, 20 years now, right?
Yeah, but not all in a row. not all in a row.
Oh, okay. So y'all had some tricky times.
Oh yeah. What marriage don't. Oh, but we got married in 90 days. So what do you really know about somebody when you get married in 90 days?
Oh, so you had a 90 day wedding basically.
Yeah, Vegas, the whole shit.
Oh, so were you drunk or something and decided it?
No. It was a beautiful wedding. We fell in love, madly in love, crazy in love. Boom.
Oh, he must have had some good pipe for you to marry in 90
days. It was
days.
More than that. I can get good dick anywhere.
Oh, well, then
you have to. It was the man that he was.
What kind of man is your husband?
You know, my husband's basically a woman want to know that your man will knock a motherfucker out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you want to know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was definitely that. And he was also not a hindrance to me on the road. He was a help. He would help me with my merchandise. We used to dress alike, like matchy-matchy shit, and all that old kind of fun stuff. He was great on the road, but he's very, very ill. Because, you know, there was a period where we was apart, and there was a lot of drug use going on. And I just want to say to him, you do like to do dope out there. It will catch up with you eventually. Smoke you a little weed, have you a little wine, drink something like that, or drink with an umbrella in it. But that fentanyl, that cocaine, all that bullshit is leading you to nowhere. You will regret it in the end. Plus, you'll be broke.
Mm.
That's my public service announcement.
Well, damn, that's a hell of an announcement.
And that's a fact.
Is he, for his health, is he doing any better right now?
Well, some conditions, yes, and some conditions, they're stable. They're not going to change. But anyway, let's change the subject and talk about more lighter things, like who I'm going to smash next.
Oh, wow. Who are you going to smash next?
Well, I had not, you know, of course, Bruno is my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to smash Bruno, but then you just don't know, do you? You know?
Were you really, okay, some of these guys in Hollywood, right, who have you smashed, like, that people wouldn't expect you to smash, but you can say, yeah, I did that?
My girlfriends know, but y'all will never know.
Oh, okay.
Come on now.
There was a couple of them had a fun time, you just can't say their name?
I could, but I just choose not to.
Oh, you're going to keep it with you and roll it out?
Yeah, my friends know.
Mm-hmm. But Bruno's the one that you want to smash.
No, I don't just want to smash. I don't even want to smash him. What if he was not satisfying in bed? I'm just saying, I love him. I love him beyond smashing. You know, I love his talent. You know, he's got that Prince thing. You know,
yeah.
that talent, that James Brown thing. He studied and he's got it. He's got it. And he can play all these instruments in his show. And he's funny and witty and slick, and he's had his ups and his downs, and lost his mom and all that stuff. He's got a great story. I love him, and he's cute as fuck, and I want to be the girl in the gorilla video. Please use that clip. watch the gorilla video and put my face on that bitch. And that's who I want to be, the girl in the gorilla video. If you haven't seen it, watch it.
You are funny. With Bruno, so now Bruno, if you're watching.
Bruno knows. You know we made a video together, right?
Yeah. But you but you already told him that you wanted to see what to do down there?
No, I don't say, we don't talk like that, girl.
Yeah, shit. Yes,
my God,
do.
You're trying to tarnish our beautiful relationship, and I'm not having it.
No, you just tarnished it yourself. You just said you wanted to smash next.
Well, I mean, I don't want to smash Idris Elba, but that don't mean nothing. You know, I want to smash a lot of people. That don't mean nothing.
Idris Elba? Yeah. Idris Elba is a nice looking man.
Matter of fact, I don't want to smash him. I want to let him smash me. Oh.
You're so funny. You're all talk. You ain't with none of it.
No, I ain't busting a grape in a food fight with steel-toed boots on. But I want to. Right.
Monique recently apologized to DL's family. How do you feel about that?
Good. She should have.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. People say things in the heat of the moment, you know, that they shouldn't say. But it takes a big person to go back and say, hey, I was out of pocket. And I think that that's a good thing.
How are you and Monique's relationship?
Fine.
Who's your, like, you rock with as far as the comedian, like, world, your sisters that, like, you just bond with heavy?
Laura Hayes is my number one ace boon coon. Miss Laura from Martin, mm-hmm. Cole's mom, Queens of Comedy. She was out of Oakland. I was out of Oakland. Paul Mooney out of Oakland. Mark Curry out of Oakland. And we just have an Oakland thing. And we've been through a lot together before we even came to L.A. or before either of us was on TV at all. And then back in the Comic View days and stuff. And then personal shit. So that's my number one. Everybody knows that. I like a lot of other people, though, you know. And then, I don't have a bad relationship with too many of the women in the game that mean anything.
What do you mean that mean anything?
I mean the shade that it sounds like. That's
who throws shade at you?
No, I'm not getting any of that. But, you know, if you're alive... Mm-hmm. You get shade. You know, people done shaded you. I'm sure you don't shade.
Well, all the time.
Yeah. So you get it. It's just part of life. But I don't worry about that because, you know, I have so much more positive shit to concentrate on besides a few little haters. You know, my baby Cat Williams says, if you got two or three haters, try to figure out how to get like 15 before the weekend comes. You know?
Yeah, Cat's one of my favorite.
I'm paraphrasing.
Cat's one of my favorite people. For Cat, for who do you feel is the strongest comedian for as a male comedians? Like, who do you think is your top three male comedians?
My top three?
Yeah.
Of course, Cat.
Mm-hmm.
Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
And probably me, if given a chance.
Die.
Me. I'm like Little Richard. I want the Cat reward goes to me. You seem to say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I love Cat. I've interviewed Cat a number of times. He always cracks me up. He's really one of the realest. I also think, you know what I'm saying, like Cat, he's never gives a shit. And that's what I like about him. Cat's, like, if I ask Cat anything, it doesn't matter. He's going to answer what it is. It doesn't give
you
a fuck.
And he always has a very analytical answer that you really can't argue with. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Have you went on tour with anybody that you have wanted to go on tour with that you have not yet?
No, I've only ever been on tour with Cat. Nobody else has ever taken me on tour. I went on tour with Cat 15 years ago, and I just got off tour with Cat for 9.5 months. So, no, I've never been on tour with nobody. It's just my own tour. I'm on my own tour right now, but it's not arenas and stuff. Just, you know, doing the improvs and Carolines and stuff like that around the country. And it's called the Fresh Out of Favors Comedy Tour. And you know why it's called that? Because I'm fresh the fuck out of favors. Don't ask me for shit. I done paid back every motherfucker that I've ever owed money to. I done good things for people. I done paid for people's stuff to do with college, funerals, all that shit. If I love you and I see you need something, I got eyes. I'm going to help you out. but don't ask me for shit. Because I'm fresh out of favors and I don't owe nobody shit.
But wait, you fresh out of favors. So if the family comes right now, right? Because you're one
my
of the...
My family?
Yeah.
My family has several issues right now and they ain't had to ask me for shit. I was there.
Okay, so...
I made it happen.
But if your random homies just come to you and be like, Lunel, I just see you just got done doing that show. That man, that show was sold out right there that you just got done. Can I borrow about $15,000?
I'd rather give it to you.
Uh-huh.
Because we're going to lose the friendship. Because, bitch, if you had 15 to pay me back, you would be asking me for it in the first goddamn place.
So, anytime...
I don't do that. I would rather just buy what you need or get it. But I'm not... Don't give me the old pay me back shit. Plus, people don't like to pay back people who they think got money. Let's keep it real. Where the fuck has that ever worked out? Never.
I mean, people never pay back. I mean, that's obvious.
Yeah.
For you, right, what is you dream about, like, that you can... obtaining your career that you haven't obtained yet?
Well, Chappelle has said that I'm going to be one of his four that he produces Netflix special for. He's already done Earthquake. And I think Tony Wood. No, he done Earthquake and then he did Donnell Rollins. And Tony Wood was the next one. And then me. And so I want to do that. I want to do my Netflix special. I want to be paid accordingly. I want it to be epic and I want it to be special. Because a lot of times, these specials just ain't fucking special.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, if you did an HBO, like, half-hour special or something, like, the next day you were on Carson. The next week you had a show. Like, it was boom, boom, boom after that. But I see people do a Netflix special, and they standing right behind me at CBS. Like, what the fuck are you doing here? You know what I mean? But I want my special to be really special. Like, it's going to, and it will be, because it's me.
I mean, a lot of people, though... For comedians, though, I think that now it's like a fine line of comedy about what you can say and not say. Like, you know, I think...
Is it?
Yeah, as far really? As Chappelle gets critiqued always, you know, for with the LGBTQ community about what he's, you know, about his punches, and they're trying to cancel Chappelle multiple times.
And how did that work out?
Well, he's not canceled, exactly. Clearly. So do you think that you have to be careful as far as that world?
Well, I think that there's a way to say everything, you know? In this day and age, there's a way to get your point across so as not to ruffle too many feathers.
Mm-hmm.
But you're always going to ruffle some. I mean, you know, and I'm not a motherfucking people pleaser. I am known for saying what the fuck it is and how I feel, and I don't set out to hurt people or anything like that. I don't talk about people. You know, people's always like, oh, I don't want to sit in the front row at the show. Well, bitch, you can sit on the stage. I'm not paying no attention to you. I have material. I don't fuck with people in the audience unless you are just, you know, disturbing the people around you. And the people around you are sending me a vibe because I get vibes on stage.
Yeah.
Sending me a vibe. And saying, Linnell, say something to this motherfucker. Then if I get that, then, you know, I do.
You go up at it.
No, I politely ask two times. Maybe keep it down or, you know, talking to the waiter or whatever like that. Or it's distracting. I'm high. It's not you. It's me. But if I have to say it three times, I really just don't even get into it. I'll cut you out real quick. And then you got to get kicked out the club.
Dang. That, I mean, well, at least you, do you feel, have you ever been in any incidents that people try to attack you at your shows at all?
No, I've had people try to kiss me and shit like that and hug on me or take the mic and try to be funny. So nobody has ever came at me, but I don't think I give anybody a reason to do that.
Yeah. I mean, well, people just, I mean, you could also have obsessed fans.
Okay, let's say.
Let's say
somebody tried to do that. I travel with security that you don't even know who they are. There's people that I travel with that they know who my people on Instagram and stuff know who they are because we take pictures. But there's also people that travel with me that are never on camera. So I would say that if you would like to see what happens, come at me.
Hi, people come at you. Jocelyn Hernandez that came at. You know, had a thing with you before.
That's old news. I don't choose to discuss that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if y'all ever resolved that.
It's old news.
Oh, got you.
Shut that down.
You shut it down quick, huh? Mm-hmm. Not playing with nothing like nothing to nobody.
Never again.
And then for your new news, okay.
Okay, so I'm on this show on HBO Max called Hacks, right? Uh-huh. You know about Hacks with Gene Smart?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm on that. So y'all check that out. And I am in a fabulous Juneteenth-themed movie that's running right now on BET+. It's called Block Party. It's directed by Black female Canadian director Dawn Wilkinson. It's starring Margaret Avery, who is, of course, Shug Avery in the original Color Purple, which she's trying so hard to shed that image. She really wants to do more comedy. And in this film, she's amazing, fantastic, and sexy, and wonderful.
Okay, Juneteenth, right?
Yeah.
So it's now becoming a thing.
No, bitch, I'm not through talking about the movie yet.
Oh, shit, so my bad.
Yeah. So Golden Brooks from Girlfriends is in the film as well, as well as Faison Love and various other people. It's a beautiful story. It deals with a little bit of dementia, Alzheimer's. It deals with Juneteenth. It deals with family. And it's a really good, feel-good movie. I want everybody to check it out on BET+.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Okay,
you were
now,
saying.
Now, this is that was her coming to plug real quick.
You asked what the fuck I was doing.
I know, but look
new,
here.
You said, what
I'm
are
allowed
you doing
to listen.
But
I'm allowed
said, what
to
are
cut
you doing
you.
New.
Yeah.
So I told him.
Yeah, but I'm allowed to sit there and interrupt about things.
Okay, but
that's a part of the sign up shit that you came to the chair for.
Oh well, it didn't work though. And now we're back to right where you wanted to be. So what's up?
Juneteenth, right?
Yeah.
It's now as far as celebrated a lot. How do you think it'll be better celebrated for more people to come across, like it, to make it like a 4th of July situation?
Well, 4th of July is a bad word now, so we don't do that anymore. We cook a barbecue on Juneteenth. A lot of the stuff that happened during the George Floyd revolution, I call it, is that people started to recognize that all of our education has been based on a lie. You know, you cannot erase the contribution of Black, brown, even Asian, Polynesian people from this motherfucking country. So Juneteenth is the official Black holiday. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's legal now. And that's why the movie was good, because it's the first movie dealing with Juneteenth since Juneteenth to become legal holiday. Mm-hmm. I think that it's not our job to try to get more people to be onto it, because there's people been celebrating Juneteenth for many, many years. It just became a legal holiday. Now, I think as it progresses and gets more attention and parades and things like that, people will get on board, you know, because yep. It's the truth. But, you know, it's not our job to try to go and make, hey, look at us, recognize us. You know, it's like, you know, do it or don't do it. Feel it or don't feel it.
And for when you say as far as feel it or don't feel it, it's, you know, do you feel like it should be more education or more?
It
like
definitely should be more education. Yes, that's where it starts. That's the problem, is that the whole educational system that came to surface during this revolution is a lie. Now they send your kids back to school and they're continuing to teach the same lie.
Uh-huh.
They haven't changed anything. So that to me is bananas. Like, it's been proven that all this shit was a lie. All these statues, all this shit is trash. And now you're gonna go back and say, well, we don't have time to really fix it, so just keep believing this.
Yeah.
Bullshit. If you're homeschooling your kids, keep doing it, because you know, plus it's safer.
I know. I would never homeschool my kids.
Well, you do have a child, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, there's my kid right there.
That's your boy? Where?
Right
over there.
Yeah, right that's there. Yeah, that's mine.
Okay, how old is he?
No, she's a girl.
I can't see.
Jaya.
Oh, hi, baby. Behind the monitor.
Yeah.
How old is she?
She is 8. It's gonna be 9 soon.
Oh.
Yeah, so I would personally, you ain't gonna sit at the crib and bother me all goddamn day. That's what you're not about to do. So there's no way it can even work.
Don't say that. But what did you do during Corona?
Oh, I still sent her on her way. I
but the school wasn't open.
Oh, her teacher was.
And so would you drop the kid off at the teacher's house?
Amen.
Homeschool.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, is that what you did?
I did.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah. Shout out to Miss Gibson.
Oh, hi, Miss Gibson. Miss Gibson said, run me my coin.
Yeah. It was no problem. It was no problem. I'm hitting you right off of Slauson.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? She was right off of Slauson right there. She's in the building.
You like Miss Gibson? You like Miss Gibson, baby?
She goes to she goes to school in Inglewood. All Black school in Inglewood.
Okay. Miss Gibson must be fire though. She must be great.
Yeah. But speaking of different things as far as kids and issues, right? They're having all these new bans with, you know, pro choice and women as far as abortion goes. How do you feel about that?
Well, I don't feel that you should be made to have your rapist child if you don't want to.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just feel that, you know, I grew up with abortions, thank God. And, you know, it should be, you should have a choice, I think. Because there's many circumstances that women get pregnant that are not, you know, down the yellow brick road, you know?
Yeah.
And why should you have to live with stuff like that? It may sound, you know, unchristian or morbid or whatever, but... You know, at the end of the day, you should have a choice.
Yeah. And then for the whole factor of the not having a choice and all that stuff is obviously bogus, you know, so.
Of course. Let women choose what they want to do with their bodies, you know. Like, you just shouldn't have to have your brother's kid. There's a lot of shit going on out there. Yeah. A lot of molestations, a lot of stuff like that. You shouldn't have to. It's not the kid's fault, right? But you should no. If you want to be the martyr, be the saint, you're the bigger person, bigger than me, and you can deal with something like that, then fine. But if you can't, then you shouldn't go crazy, maybe harm the child, harm yourself, because you didn't have the choice to maybe terminate the pregnancy early on.
Yeah. Do you four kids? You have one daughter. And how are you and your daughter, how's your daughter doing with the whole Corona situation and everything?
Well, that was hard for us because my daughter's a dancer, professional dancer, like for award shows and stuff and behind artists. And she's creative. And, you know, there was no dance studios open. She didn't just go, you know, dance in the backyard and stuff like that. I wasn't working, you know, and we were... I hadn't made it, you know, she was still pretty out there at first. And I was like, you know, I'm scared of this.
That's what you told me when I seen you at the swap meet. You're like, oh, man, I'm tripping on everybody right now.
Yeah, she didn't live with me in the first place. People think I kicked her out. I just said, you got to stay here. Or you can't be going out with your friends and then coming up in here. Because it's just, we don't know enough about it. It's transferable. You know, do your thing if you want to do your thing. But you can't bring it to me. That's all.
Did you ever end up catching COVID?
Yeah, I did.
And was it hard for you or was it?
No, 8 days and I was back on the block. But somebody put COVID in my mouth.
Who put COVID in your mouth?
A guy.
And, oh my goodness. Would he kiss you or something?
Yeah.
And he had it?
Yeah, but he was asymptomatic, so he didn't know he had it. Feel me? We was getting ready to do the Breakfast Club in New York.
Yeah.
My manager was with me. He tested negative. My publicist was with me. She tested negative. My security was with me. He tested negative. My nephew, I think, or somebody was with me. He tested negative. And this dude that I had plans to do a photo shoot with, a Fenty photo shoot with, you know, we was going to do the photo shoot.
Was he a model? Or?
Yeah, he's a model.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, we kissed a little bit. And then I caught a cold. And then I got really sick. And then I had to go home.
Oh, damn. Did you end up getting to do the photo shoot?
No, but we got to do it. I'm going back to New York in September.
Oh, and when you only had one kid, do you ever regret not having more kids?
Absolutely not. Where's the camera? No, 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 and no. One and done. She's amazing. I'm blessed. But when you start getting them multiples, one of them going to be the serial killer. No, 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 no. Just one for me. That was enough for me. I was proud that I could do that. I didn't think I was going to do that.
For you said that you were proud that you could even pop that one through.
Yeah.
Oh, the other ones was like, okay, we're not doing no more kids, but this is it.
I don't know what nobody else said, but I know that I can. I it's not even about the pregnancy. I had a great pregnancy. I had a C-section. You know, vagina's just like it was in '77. But it's the education and the money and the time and being on the road and missing shit,
yeah,
and all that type of stuff that I would never want to do again. I don't want to be on the road when I finally have a grandchild. I don't want to. I want to be there more than I was for my daughter.
You want your daughter to have kids?
What kind of question is that?
No, I said, you ready to be a grandma?
No, I want her to have kids, and no, I'm not ready to be a grandma.
Yeah, that's the question. That's exactly the point.
I want her to have kids, yes, but not
exactly
yet.
Exactly. That's exactly the goddamn point.
Not yet.
That's why the question is.
No, because I want her to enjoy her career for a while. I want her to dance. I want her to travel and see the world before she starts settling down with some damn kid. And then she's not financially stable, so who pocket that fall into? Mine.
Yeah.
I wanted to have a kid, but not yet. Show shit together first.
That's your message to your baby girl, okay?
Get your shit together for you, stop popping out these goddamn
kids. Yeah, no, but I already knew. That's why I asked you, because you don't even seem like the grandma type. Like,
but I'm a great, I used to be a Girl Scout leader. I was just around 6 kids under 7 years old in the same house. This weekend, I changed diapers. I disciplined. I did knock a kid over on his little race car the other day, but that was sort of by accident. But, you know.
Well, nowadays, though, you're not allowed to beat your kids, though. So, you know, you're technically not allowed to give ass whoopings anymore.
Who's in a house to see what you do in your house?
No, Lunel, it's not about the house. It's now if you decide to hit your kid.
Raquel, you ain't never spanked your baby?
Listen.
Did you ever spank the baby?
I mean, sometimes.
Well, she's right over there and she can answer.
She out of here, actually. She went to her daddy. Now she done got picked up.
That was all planned. Set me up.
No, I just said, but
no,
now.
No, I mean,
really,
you know, nobody wants
can't.
To beat a child, and I would never take out the aggressions that I have towards certain children with a beating. But I do believe in discipline. That's what's wrong with some of these kids these days. They just run wild telling the parents what to do, you know?
What was one of your funnest memories that you have with Kat?
Riding my first G6 private plane. That was beyond.
What'd y'all do? Tell me about the memory.
We played some of his music, because he does music as well. A lot of people don't know. We played some of his music. We were drinking champagne. We were smoking on the plane. And we were, you know, eating and being waited on and giving each other high fives and just like, this is incredible, incredible. I've only ever been on a private plane with 2 people, and that's Kat and Dave Chappelle.
Dang. So Dave Chappelle also? And how is that plane ride?
They're all amazing. Anytime you can fly private, it's amazing. Yeah. Walk around, get your food, drink
some. Yeah, I mean, I only brought in a private plane one time.
And, whose was it?
Harvey took me on a private plane to Vegas, but that was the only time I ever rode on a private plane. But besides that, I just do like the regular shit. So.
Well, me too, but I'm just saying it sure is great though when you get a chance to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I need that lifestyle.
Yeah, but Vegas, like, that's cute for a beginner. Then you got to go like cross country on one.
Yeah. Well, excuse me. Okay.
No, I'm just saying.
I haven't had the leisure yet to go cross country. I had the 40-minute ride. Okay.
I get it. It's, you know, it just happened that way. Chappelle, the flight to Yellow Springs was, you know, a couple hours or whatever.
For Chappelle, when he went on stage and had the whole incident when someone attacked him, what do you feel about like things that should happen that can prevent those incidents?
Well, I hold the Hollywood Bowl totally responsible, because how did that even happen? What if that fool had arrested Jerry Seinfeld like that, what would they have done to him then? The fact that the boy didn't get charged, I think, is absurd. And the lack of security that allowed that to happen in the first place is in gross negligence. That's the way I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody should have never got that close to him.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't supposed to be out there or part of the show.
Real shit. Do you think that he should, sue Hollywood Bowl?
That's not really his spirit, you know what I'm saying? He don't really do stuff like that because he would, to me, I feel like he would rather, help them improve their security system. You know what I'm saying? He's the type of person who would do that. He doesn't, surely doesn't need to sue anybody. And if he was going to do it, I think he would have filed by now. But, you know, sometimes it's just not worth the hassle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Court dates and stuff like that. So, yeah. No, I think he should do whatever he wanted to do. Now, me, yeah, I'd have sued the bitch. yeah, I'd have sued the Hollywood Bowl. Fuck that. I'd have dug up Johnny Cochran and we'd have sued the fuck out the
motherfucker. Dug up Cochran.
I'd have dug his ass up.
He's crazy as hell. He dug up Johnny Cochran. I can't with you.
I'm serious. That's how I'm serious.
Yeah.
You need Johnny Cochran for some shit like that.
You know, you're, of course, you're in the streets all the time. How do you feel about what's going on with Nipsey's trial?
That opens up a whole wound again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I live in that area.
Yeah, I know.
And you know, it's sort of like post-traumatic stress because I think that, you know, like I'm moving next year, I'm going to buy a house next year, another one, and I have to get out of there for my own mental health because, and I'm like, girl, you are too old to keep grieving this boy like this, but when you drive past the crime scene every day, it don't never leave you, especially in that area.
Mm-hmm.
It's so Nipsey-fied with the murals and the memories and the videos that were shot at the bank over there in front of this place, this car wash you used to go to. There's so many stories on the street. And I think that the black community don't hate nobody right now as much as they hate Eric Holder's bitch ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a lot of, it's a lot of taxpayer money housing that bitch for the last 3 years when I know for a fact there's people salivating for him to be released into general pop. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So,
street justice.
I hurt for Lauren. It makes me sick. I feel like there's just a little glitter in her eye that's not quite there no more, you know. She's beautiful still, great mom from everything we see, all that stuff. But there's just, you know, part of her died when he died, period. And now she's like a legacy, you know, like if Martin Luther King was your man or something like that, you know. I heard for his grandmother,
mm-hmm.
you know, for his children, Imani and Cross.
Yeah.
For his brother Sam, them fools was close. And his mother, you know, and everybody. It's just terrible. And then I heard for us as a community in the Crenshaw District, and I heard for us as a people because his reached so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We didn't even know where Eritrea was until we found out it was Eritrean or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just through his death, we've learned so much. He's teaching way beyond the grave. And he's shown us one example of generational wealth because the kids are set for life.
Well,
you know, with the collaboration with the Puma, the marathon, yeah, no, all this, that's,
but
you know.
You know what's so funny, right? I am now a life insurance agent as well, right? So when he died, they said that the person who's coaching me, Gary, he told me that his income tripled because
that
of,
day,
you know,
day.
A Million Look. On My Flesh with Nipsey's lyrics. It made it, everybody, the whole black community went in full force. And now then they listen to his lyrics and everybody wanted life insurance.
That part. And because everything that he touched or was affiliated with, as far as merchandise, sold, oversold, triple sold, give us some time, we're sold out, this, that, you know, and it'll be like that forever. They're always going to want marathon clothing, period. But his children have got such a blueprint, you know. He was trying to lay out the blueprint for us. You know, it says in the song, Hustle paid the price. He did.
Yeah, definitely.
And but his children and their children are going to, they're going to be raised right. They're going to know about it, you know, what they do. And you never know what a kid going to do. But, you know, they're going to have an opportunity to really be the people that the ancestors been waiting for.
Are you moving out of the Crenshaw district because of what happened in Nipsey? Are you moving just because of your own?
I'm not really moving out of the district.
Oh, you're just moving.
I might go up to Baldwin Hills. I might go to Ladera or maybe Marina Del Rey, which literally is only 15 minutes away. So I'm not going north of the 10 freeway unless somebody gives me some property, because I've lived in North Hollywood before and on Mulholland, and it's not my vibe. It looks like it is, but it's not. When you get to playing Bidwest and it's 9:01 and you're in the backyard chilling with the homies and the police come, you know, that's not, it's not for me. We have a very, in my neighborhood, very black and Latino. And we don't bother them when they want to party and play music all the way to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Nobody, that's music. Yeah. It ain't like somebody's fighting. It's music. And then when we do our little black thing, don't nobody, you know, it's just not about, you know, we got neighbors. That's why neighborhood, we got neighbors. We can go to the door.
Yeah, neighborhood.
We can go to the door.
Yeah, 6-0.
Yeah, we don't, yeah, that's right. We don't call the police. That's what we don't do, you know, because it can always turn out so bad. And you might have one intention. You might have been spiteful or something. Now you done got somebody daddy killed. We don't call the police.
Well, for calling, I mean, I guess, but being a snitch now, I guess people are feeling that being a snitch now, I guess, is
everything
now acceptable.
Everything ain't snitching. If I see a motherfucking knock an old lady down and I call the police, that's not snitching. If I see somebody breaking in my partner's house across the street, that's not motherfucking snitching. That's just trying to help somebody out that deserved to be helped the fuck out. That's what I want somebody to do for me.
Yeah,
just got to pray now that the right cop shows up.
So for your, what is your definition of snitching in general?
I don't want to get into that.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. No, I'm just wondering.
A snitch knows what a snitch is, and people who know what snitches are know what they are. I'm not going to sit up here and try to put my definition. Everybody knows what that is. Everybody knows.
I want to just put as far as the category, right? Tiffany Haddish, Monique, you, where do you feel that, like, you fall in the lineup with them?
I'm not going to do that either because that's petty. And I do have my own opinions, but they're my own. I would never come on a media platform and put down my sisters, you know, in the game because I know what it takes.
No, not putting them down.
No, but in a way, it would be that, you know, if you try to rate yourself amongst.
No, I just said
girls.
Like, you know.
Yeah, but I can't do it like that. I just say that, you know, we all got different styles. Uh-huh. We all took different paths.
Well, you and Tiffany, though, are a very similar path, you know.
Yeah, but I was in the game before Tiffany, but not much more before Tiffany. And she's, you know, more marketable because, you know, she's beautiful and, you know, can wear the designer clothes and stuff like that. And believe it or not, that does have something to do with it in this town.
But you think so, though?
Yeah, I do. And I think that Tiffany is a better actress. See, that she's a great comedic. She's a good comic, but she's a great actress. Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel, you know? And I think, because I started Kitchen, I've been impressed by a lot of, acting is work. It's more work than it is to do stand-up, really. I mean, no, stand-up is more work than to do that, but it's work. You got to learn lines and blocking and do this and be on location and da-da-da-da-da-da, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I commend her for that. I'm not that great an actress, but I bring my own little ghetto Saquon to everything I do.
When you say as far as more marketable, do you feel like what different comedians, like if you look a certain way, you're way more marketable? Like,
sure, and youth sells. Like, don't fool yourself in this town. Youth sells. And yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not intimidated by this shit. You know, I get some mine. I feel good about myself. You know, everybody want to lose a little belly, a little chin, but, you know, I'm not sitting home sucking my thumb, talking about I wish, and all this type of stuff. It is what it is. I'm not fucking 13, 15, 17 years old no more, and I'm not going to go get carved the fuck up. So,
would you ever get...
Did you take a corona test? Your listen. Ass came up in it?
I did take a COVID test. I don't have COVID.
Where the lights off?
I have allergies. Excuse me.
That's what they call it.
Yeah, I don't got the goddamn Rona shit. You ain't gonna put
Rona
me.
Rona don't make you sneeze, by the way. It
well,
don't.
I don't even know.
It what make the... you cough.
Okay, well, you haven't seen me do a cough one damn time. You asked me some wild shit.
I'm just fucking with you.
No, I'm playing. Yeah.
But I just think that everybody got their path, everybody get their thing, but, you know, I bow down to all of them. Because Monique did the first, you know, the Queens of Comedy was the first black female comedy tour ever.
Yeah.
Okay, and that can never be erased, even though people don't like to talk about it, even though the Queens didn't go out to do what the Kings went on to do.
Why?
I don't really know.
But because, what's your reasoning?
Back then, when they did that tour, I don't think everybody had publicists and big agents and stuff like that to help them capitalize on the fire that they had just done. It was like they did it and it was over. Now, them boys, I don't really know what their situation was either, but, you know, DL and said,
yeah,
and the late Bernie Mac would have.
And every single one of them came out big deal.
Yeah.
Every single one of them.
Yeah, I don't quite understand.
But even for the
why
Queens
that happened or how that happened.
For the Queens of Comedy, I remember Monique and who else was on there?
Adele Gibbons, some more, and Laura Hayes.
There you have it.
Shame.
Okay.
Now you see, that just proved what I'm saying right there. Mm-hmm. The boys did the biggest male comedy tour ever. The females did the biggest comedy tour ever, and people can't even remember their name.
Well,
it's not just you.
I'm not going to lie. I did not remember.
No,
but I did definitely remember for the Kings of Comedy.
Yeah.
So,
but there's a reason for that. And I'm trying to exactly figure out what it is. Did they not promote the Queens like they did the Kings? Did they not get behind the women like they did the men? You know, why did all those men go on to be hugely financially successful and the women are nowhere close to that?
Yeah. Facts.
Maybe Monique. Well, she did just get bred the fuck out. Sorry,
well, no.
Netflix.
I mean, Monique made a massive comeback. I don't know, you know, like
she just got $50 million from Netflix.
Yeah, like
they annied the fuck up.
Well,
wow, who saw that coming? Nobody thought she was gonna win. Be honest, but guess what? They might have given her $50 million to shut the fuck up. But in any event, you know, she got the check, so.
Yeah.
Right on. Shit.
Monique obviously definitely
won. She fighting for her. She said she's fighting for all of us, so I'll take that.
Well, have you got the call yet?
I'm waiting for the Illuminati to call me. they don't want me.
Are you sure?
They would have called me by now.
Yeah.
And I'm kidding. Kidding.
No.
Kidding.
What's your 10-year plan?
My 10-year plan? Well, I wanna get a house next year. I want to buy this building that I have two studios in right now. I want to be the next black woman in late night, because they've had black women in late night. Sorry, Monique. Sorry, Robin Thede, but they haven't had the right one, and I'm the right one. I was made for late night. Like Sherry Shepherd's made for daytime. I'm made for late night. I don't choose to learn how to make a Christmas wreath out of toilet tissue rolls and sell jewelry. I want to talk about what's real, and I want to be, you know, like these guys in late night. After 11, you don't see a number of white man after white man after white man after white man. Like, come on. Like, black folks don't come home from work late and want to see somebody that's intelligent and fun and entertaining. That's me, baby. So, you know, for anybody out there that's want to make $1 million out the gate, get at me, because I'm just $1 million walking around. It's a win-win.
Bingo. All right. Well, I have the legendary today, Lunel. I'm very happy you came and sit with me.
Me too. Your cameras make me look really cute too. I like the way they shade. I had that double chin. And if you want to follow me on Instagram, you can follow me at Lunel. Tell me that you heard me on saw me on Raquel's show TMZ. And hit me.
It's tricky.
It's tricky with Raquel, right?
Yeah, because shit is tricky.
It is. And you can hit me on at Lunel at LUENELL.
There it is.